What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Yes, the office workers went back to work in Philadelphia, so that means a total of 26,000 workers. Everybody's back in City Hall and working hard, according to Mayor Sherelle Parker, after that legal battle in which union members asked me the judge said, nope, they didn't prove their case. So we'll talk about that one moving forward, as in Philadelphia, a victory for Sherelle Parker, relatively new mayor in Philadelphia.
So were they actually back to work yesterday?
They were. And okay. Do you know what was brilliant?
What?
A friend of ours who was here last week, Pete Cherokee, do you know he sent down the huge Chickies and Pete's trucks?
Oh, okay. Yep,
and they were giving huge discounts, or maybe free crab fries and things of that nature. But they're doing a lot of discounting on food.
Right.
And that was brilliant. But he sent down the food truck to had a big sign, welcome back.
Yeah.
For everybody. But that was really smart. But so what they're doing is they're doing all these food deals for city workers, and I guess all workers, if you come back. Sherelle Parker really trying to make this push.
We've got to entice you to come back to work.
Yeah,
so food. We'll give you dollar crab fries and $5 Miller Lite pitchers.
You know what? There were lines, even in the heat. There were all these lines. People were happy.
Can you imagine having been virtual the last 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it might be for these people, how long of a day yesterday must have felt? Like, you're probably looking at, like, let's just assume they work 9 to 5, any of these individuals. By, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it must have felt like midnight to these people. Because they've been so out of it.
But they haven't had Chickies and Pete's fries for a really long time.
Well, that's true.
It was just really funny that all they talked about was all the food discounts. They thought it was fantastic.
Yep.
So that was a great move. Hey, we have new details. So much going on in the city of Philadelphia. We do have all these new details of the FBI identifying the gunman, 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks, as a loner. We know that they have cracked into his cell phone, now focusing on the laptop. And this has gone really wild on social media, with still no answers as to exactly how this apparently lone shooter, a 20-year-old who could crack into security at the highest levels in our nation. So this is a small Pittsburgh, a suburb of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, really reeling after the FBI has labeled that Crooks, the suspect, is the person who tried to assassinate former President Donald J. Trump during Saturday's campaign rally here in Philadelphia, which continues to send a lot of reaction shockwaves through the nation. I know Nick will get to the big moment, the big reveal, when Trump actually walked out on the stage and was introduced at the RNC last night to a thunderous applause and crowd. But this young guy, Crooks, armed with a semi-automatic AR-style rifle, opening fire, obviously, at the former president as he was addressing the crowd in Butler, and obviously killing one volunteer fire chief that we've talked a lot about, two others still in very unstable but critical condition, neighbors being interviewed, and so many reports that are being looked into as to exactly when this guy was identified by witnesses, even by the metal detectors outside, that they were getting calls to police saying, hey, there's a really suspicious, strange guy just outside the metal detectors. I know we talked yesterday and showed the video outside as people were videotaping with their phones showing somebody on the roof. And we'll get more into that one as far as what went wrong. Butler County Sheriff obviously spoke out, gave his 2 cents. So we have so much going on. And just to remind you that state records had shown that he was a registered Republican, but had donated to a far left Democrat Party type of PAC. So all of that is making headlines and social media, talking about the fact that he belonged to a gun range, and including a high power rifle facility with targets up to 171 meters away. So talking about all of this, and I do want to update you on the condition of at least one of those individuals, maybe not getting a lot of play as we talk about a 57-year-old man, an Allegheny County man in Pennsylvania. He was put into a medically induced coma after he underwent two surgeries, Saturday immediately, then Sunday. And then yesterday, I think mid-morning it was, we did get word, they put him in that medically induced coma in hopes of saving his life. He's 57-year-old David Dutch of Plum, reportedly shot in his liver and his chest.
Oh, boy. All right. So he was one of the guys that received one of those 8 bullets.
Yes.
Awful.
And then 74-year-old James Copenhaver of Moon Township, he was injured, stable but critical condition. So we've talked, you know, about him as far as looks like he's in better shape than 57-year-old David Dutch, who was in the medical coma. And then, of course, talking about 50-year-old Corey Comprator, who we've talked a lot about, Buffalo Township, who is being hailed as a hero by his own wife and daughters. So he was, like you, Nick Hale, a girl dad.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And shielding his daughters, was a beloved volunteer fire chief and local employee, learning more details about his life. So his daughter Allison struck me because yesterday when she put that post out there and said, the media is not going to report about my dad that he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to keep making sure that we do report.
Yes.
Corey was, he did die a hero.
Say the names of the heroes and the fallen, not the name of the perp.
Amen to that one. So we have that one under investigation for sure. This morning, we do have to talk about this heat wave because oppressive heat as we look at reaching nearly 100 degrees today. Now, we were 102, I believe, 12 years ago.
102?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 12 years ago. So I was trying to look up all the records. So even though we're at 78 degrees, the sun just coming up this morning, we were in the 80s before sunrise. We felt like we were in the 80s with the heat index before the sunrise, but certainly the heat now will accelerate.
Hmm.
So the concerns, I know there was a little girl who fell out a window, open window in Philadelphia, receiving treatment, a lot of concern, as well as authorities making sure parents know if you don't have AC, there are cooling centers. And a lot of people don't have screens on their windows, but even that's not enough. If your kid climbs up and leans against that window, this could, you know,
yep,
that could bring forth a tragedy. We do have a fire official, and in fact, many different fire officials across our region making inappropriate, controversial comments on social media that got them into trouble. And this is leading to multiple resignations across our region. And so in the afternoon of Saturday's shooting and attempted assassination of Trump at the rally in Western Pennsylvania, this is Jim Simmons, the fire marshal there in the borough of Prospect Park. He went on social media and he had written, "A little to the right next time, please.
Not everything needs to be on Twitter."
And you know what? Mr. Simmons probably wishes he had listened to Greg Stocker.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of people do.
Yeah, this is true. And so many, a swift reaction, bipartisan reaction, I will say, as well. But he was met with backlash. He issued an extensive apology and has now, at this point, resigned his position. So he's no longer the chief of the Prospect Park Fire Company.
I mean, we talk about free speech all the time, and then we talk about hate speech. When you are a governmental employee paid by tax dollars, what is the rule of thumb, or should be the rule of thumb, for wishing death upon another governmental employee? I mean, I can't come on social media and wish the death to another Odyssey employee. I would be fired, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how does that play in the government where you don't like Trump or Biden?
It's consequence. Like, it's not cancel culture, it's consequence culture.
Right.
We talk about that all the time. I don't care if it's left or right. You can put whatever you want to on social media.
Yeah.
It's your free will. But me as an employer, if I look at that and I don't like what you say, I have a right to fire you.
Right.
I just do.
Yep.
So, you know, it is what it is. You want to spout your dumb beliefs on Twitter, you know, for your 10 people to see it so you can be pithy and weird and cool. then, you know, the consequences come to you.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
A lot of sick people out there, man.
Just stop sharing every dumb thought that's in your head. That's what talk radio is for.
Yes. 855-839-1210. Firefighter guy.
Yeah. And this is a Kalen Company News follow-up. Great Valley School District holding that board meeting last night after middle school students created 22 fake TikTok accounts impersonating their teachers. This was a packed meeting, and parents in this Chester County School District calling for action last night following the series of disturbing discoveries on TikTok that actually this all began last February. And now learning new information, obviously it has exploded on social media again. And the New York Times, for example, headlining this, but parents raising concern over the fact that the district has indeed known about this since last February, did not send the information home. So a parental rights issue here. The parents are saying, why didn't we know about this? Why did we have to learn this from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT
mm-hmm.
or from a local congressional candidate, Neil Young, who's a teacher, a veteran 22-year teacher in the district who's now running for a position? Why did we, why do we have to open the New York Times or hear about that online? We needed to know about this. And they demanded the district pay for mental health services for the impacted teachers to heal. Some of these got really nasty and weird. And there's the headlines you'll see. It says, oh, they were homophobic or they were sexist, this and that and the other. The actual Neil was one of the male teachers who was shown. And he's also a wrestling coach.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, on one part, the kids, they apologized and they put, they pasted his face with another popular coach, the two male teachers who are both married with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put them, they pasted them on a video of a man and a woman in bed together. And he said, okay, they were being silly and they apologized. And that a lot of people think they didn't mean to be like homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
They were being silly.
Yep.
On the other hand, to the Spanish teacher, they actually took a photo of her husband and young children they found somewhere. They're on a beach and they were making some kind of a weird appeal to pedophiles. You like these little kids? I mean, it got really dark and creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of, people saying we have to have some rules about social media and talk to the kids, include the parents.
Yep.
So there are a lot of layers to this, but just wanted to put that to your attention. I know there are so many breaking details this morning, and we'll get, of course, into the Republican National Convention. What an amazing, historic kickoff yesterday. I know Nick's going to get into it, and we're going to have all the details moving forward and more details and new details on the national level and the local level as far as that local police investigation into, of course, the assassination attempt on Trump as we move forward. We've got to talk about Discover More of Lancaster. I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Head to the Turkey Hill Experience, enjoy samples, and even make your own flavor in the Taste Lab. A 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com. Plan your getaway. Discover Lancaster. Not a bad idea on this excessive heat. And, of course, Philadelphia declaring a heat emergency today. We will reach, it looks like we'll reach 100 degrees today, and no relief with showers. The showers, we could see some storms tomorrow that break up the heat, so that'll finally be broken up for your Thursday. But in the meantime, keep cool. The ice cream will be melting if you bring it outside. This is Kalen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kalen Company.
The divided states of America. Campaigns, court cases, and complicit media. We are called the United States of America, but the reality is we are quite divided. Sure, we are all humans. We are mostly good people. But this nation is completely fractured up and down, left and right, from coast to coast. Political ideologies, social preferences, cultural habits, and much more. At the ballot box, or as the big guy would say, at the battle box, on social media, in our schools, at the workplace, we all have our own beliefs, theories, and values. This divide has been accelerated over the last 8 years with Donald Trump entering the political spectrum. And sure, you can argue it started during the Obama years, but I believe the media and establishment hacks are to blame because of an outsider who came in, rattled their cages, rocked Hillary Clinton, and the Washington elites have been hell-bent on getting rid of the man who has blown up the political arena by breaking what the traditional presidents sound like, act like, talk like, and even look like. We came together as a nation after the horrific tragedy of 9/11, when terrorists murdered thousands of innocent Americans. Now today, we are divided and not even on the same page when it comes to wars such as the Middle East and Israel, Russia and Ukraine, and gender ideology, what Americans feel about being divided over whether or not a male can become a female. It is crazy times indeed. Following Donald Trump's assassination attempt Saturday night in Pennsylvania, the divide has never been more obvious. But as 45 would say, the show must go on. As DJT and the GOP get the Republican National Convention underway in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this week, there's a lot of buzz in the battleground state over a party that has never been more united. Following Saturday's attempted assassination of Trump, and just 19 days removed from Joe Biden's unmitigated disaster on the debate stage. I mentioned campaigns, court cases, and complicit media. Let me start with campaigns. Trump telling the Washington Examiner that his speech for the convention has been drastically altered in light of what transpired in Butler, Pennsylvania. Trump, the headliner, and expected to address delegates on Thursday evening, the final night of the convention. His comments come as those delegates will officially cast their vote for him to be the nominee of the party. Trump's speech originally was supposed to be centered around Biden's failed policies, but following the shooting on Saturday, Trump is taking a softer, more unifying approach, according to reports. Quote, "The speech I was going to give on Thursday was going to be a humdinger," Trump told the Washington Examiner. Mike Allen of Axios reporting that convention speakers have been told not to add shooting-related attacks on Democrats or the media. Quote, "I think it's real. Getting shot in the face changes a man," end quote. That was Tucker Carlson telling Axios as Tucker was slated to speak in prime time. Trump also telling the Washington Examiner, quote, "This is a chance to bring the whole country, even the whole world, together. The speech will be a lot different than it would have been 2 days ago," end quote. That was Donald Trump. Now, the second order of business, court cases. More great news yesterday for Donald Trump coming down on Monday after we got off the air as Judge Eileen Cannon has dismissed the classified documents case against Donald Trump. According to legal experts, quote, "The greatest legal threat against Trump is now gone. The Florida district judge has ruled that special counsel Jack Smith's appointment was unconstitutional." According to reports, Judge Cannon issued a 93-page opinion that scholars claim is, quote, "strongly reasoned." Cannon wrote the following. "Upon careful study of the foundational challenges raised in the motion, the court is convinced that Special Counsel Smith's prosecution of this action breaches two structural cornerstones of our constitutional scheme, the role of Congress in the appointment of constitutional officers and the role of Congress authorizing expenditures by law." Jonathan Turley, legal analyst and law professor, telling Fox News, quote, "Of all the cases that could be dismissed, this would be at the top of the list. This was the greatest threat, and for now, at least, it's gone." Here is House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, giving his thoughts on the failed lawfare against Donald Trump. Listen and watch this.
Well, my first reaction is the Democrats' efforts to weaponize the legal system against Donald Trump is unraveling. I think that was the right decision. I think when her made the decision not to prosecute Joe Biden for his obvious mishandling of classified documents, I think that sealed the fate for this case. And I think Trey Gowdy's the expert, and certainly he's done a tremendous job explaining why this never should have made it this far to begin with. But I'm glad that all these cases that I considered legal warfare against Donald Trump are falling to the side, and the American people can focus now on electing the next leader of the free world and basing that decision on issues and facts.
Jonathan Turley tweets this on X. "The dismissal of the classified docs case is a seismic development," he writes. "From the beginning of all these cases, I've said the Mar-a-Lago case was the greatest threat to the former president. It is now dismissed."
What did Donald Trump have to say about Jack Smith's failures against him? Fox News' Brett Baer had a phone conversation with Donald Trump yesterday after the news came down, and he had this to share with America. Listen and watch.
We just got off the phone with the former president, and he said this: I am thrilled that a judge had the courage and wisdom to do this. This has big, big implications, not just for this case, but for other cases. The special counsel worked with everyone to try to take me down. This is a big, big deal. It only makes this convention more positive. This will be an amazing week. He said again and again that this was a big, big decision. He pointed to, you know, Justice Thomas and the questioning in the Supreme Court on this very issue about the special counsel, but seemed to indicate that he thought that this would have implications for other cases.
Next up, the complicit media. Just as things are backfiring on Democrats, attorney generals, special prosecutors, and weaponized government, the media meltdown officially took an unexpected turn late on Monday during Kale and Company, as MSNBC yanked Morning Joe off the air in fear of what Joe and Mika might say following the Donald Trump failed assassination attempt on Saturday evening. I wondered if this was a scheduled vacation and time off, but according to the New York Post, it was not. So your high-paid, low-performing morning show not allowed to broadcast on what is likely the biggest story they will ever cover on television. According to the New York Post, hosts Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, staunch Joe Biden advocates, were expected to return to the anchor chairs on Tuesday, despite the huge political news and Monday night start of the RNC. Instead, MSNBC rolled out breaking news coverage Monday morning instead of risking one of its bad stable of talking heads uttering something that could paint the show and the network in a bad light, a source familiar with the matter told CNN of all places on Monday. Excuse me while I smile for a moment, knowing millionaires don't have the trust of their bosses and their network to act like responsible broadcasters and grown adults and not make comments like calling Trump Hitler. Kind of glorious if you think about it, but you know what it is? It's an admission by MSNBC that they have gone too far in painting Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler. And lastly, Hitler selects his vice president, and we have 39-year-old J.D. Vance from Ohio. Trump making that announcement official Monday on Truth Social. And when it pertains to the vice president, I said this last week. For the first time, I thought about it really, really hard, and I said, you know what? The VP does matter, and two reasons why. Number one, if Kamala Harris wasn't such a space cadet, Joe Biden would possibly have stepped down already. But since she polls lower than he does, the Democrats are stuck with him. And secondly, the VP matters because Trump said, quote, you need somebody that can be good just in case, that horrible just in case. Well, that just in case, horrible just in case, was a few millimeters away from becoming reality on Saturday night. You can't have somebody as your vice president that can't assume the duties of president in the event that a horrific situation plays out. News coming down Monday afternoon that Trump had trimmed his VP list in half as Florida's Marco Rubio and North Dakota's Doug Burgum were ruled out. That would have presumably left us with J.D. Vance, Tim Scott, and maybe Glenn Youngkin. But Trump is going for a young, up-and-coming senator from Ohio. And I had said all along that Doug Burgum did nothing for me. Marco Rubio didn't move the needle either. I liked Vance, I liked Youngkin, and Byron Donalds from Florida. So overall, I'm pretty pleased with the selection of J.D. Vance. Now, it's only day two of the RNC convention, but momentum, energy, luck, and even unity is on the side of Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And yes, many variables can change and likely will. But what happens between now and November 5th seems pretty set in stone, barring an October shocker. Let's just hope that Trump and the GOP, who are in command right now and dictating the pace and the tempo, don't screw it up. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, your thoughts and reactions, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHT. And of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. It's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We've got three big stories to get to before we get to the cut sheet. Details on the shooter. We have updates to get to. We'll also give our thoughts on J.D. Vance being the vice president and also Eileen Cannon dismissing the classified documents case against Donald Trump. It's Kale and Company on a Tuesday morning. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
First and foremost, I think the most pertinent story continues to be the fallout, the reaction, the investigation, and the information collection that's going on right now, and what we really don't know about that shooter and what transpired on Saturday night. And there's a couple of updates that we need to get to from law enforcement being, quote, baffled over the lack of information about this killer who is now deceased, and also what law enforcement botched for almost 30 minutes. But I do want to start with this, courtesy of NBC Philadelphia. I just saw this morning as we were getting ready to go on the air, and Dawn highlighted a couple of these bullet points in the news at 6:05. Authorities saying Monday that they had accessed the phone of the person who attempted to assassinate Donald Trump. They say ongoing efforts to understand the shooter's motives have so far come up empty, and also it has only deepened the mystery around the gunman. Former FBI profiler Greg McCrary, who was with the Bureau for 25 years, said the lack of information about crooks poses a challenge for law enforcement. He says, quote, "This guy is one of the most invisible people that are out there. They're not on social media. They're not screaming or yelling about this or that. They are ruminating about it internally, which scares the hell out of all of us in law enforcement." Quote, "Some people say it's like looking for a needle in a haystack," he added, "but that's not really it. A better way to think about it is to try and predict which piece of hay is going to become a needle." Some other updates from Monday with senior law enforcement officials where they found more than a dozen guns in the family's home in Bethel Park, PA. That according to four senior officials, after reports said that this guy, Crooks, was worried, now we're talking about his father here, that his son and his AR rifle were missing, and then police went to the home after the call. That is according to three senior officials. So this guy, whatever was percolating internally, mentally, and basically led to the breaking point of this guy climbing a roof and deciding he's going to try to kill Donald Trump, there were not a ton of warning signs apparently out there. And then you have the other major bombshell from yesterday where this guy was spotted by law enforcement. And this is according to WPXI Channel 11 News in Butler, where this guy was first spotted by the authorities 30 minutes before shots were fired, Dawn. Yeah. 30 minutes.
I thought I reported this yesterday.
Did you see? Okay.
The news cycle feels like it's, I swear to God, a year's worth of stories between yesterday at 6 a.m. and this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing I will say about this is that, and I know they're looking into all of that, but there were reports, even the sheriff there in Butler County, and I think at some point we played his audio yesterday, he had said that the officer who went up on the roof had a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
He had stated that in his interview, but he hadn't physically spoken to his officer, so he was getting it from one of his, you know, one of his supervisory people.
Right.
The bottom line is with that officer is that a lot of people, if you look at it, hail him as a hero. In fact, the sheriff said he was, because he was one of the people who listened to those who said, "Hey, there's a guy on the roof."
And yeah.
So he and another officer, they literally, because they don't have a way, they don't have a ladder. So the one officer hoists his fellow officer up.
Right.
And he's like helping the guy up to the roof.
Yeah.
The guy has his hands like perched, you know what I mean? Using his hands like as if it's like a pull up
mm-hmm.
to see. And that's when he does the pull up. He does see the shooter who like points his gun at him.
Right.
But he falls perhaps because he couldn't hold himself up anymore. There's no way he could have. I don't know that. I mean, unless you're like The Rock, you know, in those movie scenes where they make it look so easy that, oh, yeah, I'm hanging from a cliff.
Right.
And I can just reach and unholster my firearm and shoot the bad guy and have perfect aim.
Right.
And so what I think is significant here is that those two police officers may very well have thrown the assassin or would-be assassin, threw him off guard enough that the rush just shot.
Might have rattled him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he panicked. But, I mean, okay, so we can play the blame game, certainly, and we can now Tuesday morning quarterback this. But so Butler Police drops the ball, but what are the Secret Service elevated snipers doing for 30 minutes?
That's a great question.
If you're laying on a roof as a sniper and you see one of presumably five or six areas where somebody could get up on top of, and I know there's like a little bit of a tree that sticks up, so maybe it's a little bit of a distorted view, but it's still unacceptable. Channel 11's Nicole Ford confirmed that Beaver County's ESU team had 8 members at the rally. Remember I asked that caller yesterday who was a former officer, how many people does he think were on site? Well, apparently she had the answer. There was 8 members at the rally, including snipers and spotters. According to Ford's sources for WPXI, one of them noticed a suspicious man on a roof near the rally at 5:45. Called it in, took a picture of the person. They go on to say, we have learned from our sources the person in that picture is Crooks. We're told it's not clear if Crooks had a gun with him at that point.
Just the guy hanging out on a roof.
Right.
Yeah, but at one point, the guy...
It's not one of
he's
our
on
guys.
His belly.
Well, who is it?
He's not like... He's on his belly. He looks like a... You know what I mean? He's not just walking on 2 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks... He has something in his...
But if you,
I mean,
you know, if you're a sniper and you have a scope and you look in and you zoom in and you're doing your job, you got to imagine, well, why is a guy crawling on a roof getting ready before a president speaks in about 25 minutes?
There's an interview. I don't know if it was a video or if it was a news article with a former sniper who said the first thing he would have done was looked at that rooftop
I think that was what Dawn was mentioned yesterday, but the Canadian guy, right?
Yeah. But they also, remember, they had two guys, specialists, inside the building that the sniper was on the roof. They were inside.
So they never heard anybody climbing
up a roof?
And I guess they
didn't hear if it was a metal roof, if it was. The only thing I would, so two reports, one report is that the snipers who we keep, you know, the police and then a Secret Service sniper, that the reason they didn't immediately fire was this issue of they wanted to make sure it wasn't a local cop.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hesitation there.
Right.
Thought it might be a local cop. And that's, so there was obviously a real failure in communication.
It's terrible. According to multiple sources, a law enforcement officer had also previously seen Crooks on the ground and called him in as a suspicious person with a picture prior to 5:45 p.m. According to WPXI, they say our sources tell us an officer checked the grounds for Crooks at that point, but did not see him where the first picture was taken. 26 minutes after the second picture of Crooks was taken by law enforcement and the information was called in, shots were then fired, which, of course, the Secret Service then returned fire and killed Crooks. But I was reading about this yesterday from all different media outlets out in central and western Pennsylvania. So we have a FBI field office in Pittsburgh. This is, they're kind of handling and running the taking the lead on this investigation. And did you know that that is the same field office that did not get involved in the Hunter Biden bribery in Ukraine? That's worth sharing. And also, remember Kim Cheadle yesterday, our newly appointed, hired Secret Service director? Think about some of the things that have occurred under her watch where her office is handling investigations, which least of which probably anybody cares about anymore, but the White House cocaine situation from last July in 2023. So we have a field office in the FBI that has a history of a cover-up. And we have a Secret Service director, probably not qualified to be the Secret Service director, that just couldn't get to the bottom of whose cocaine it was in July of 2023 at the White House. That should make you feel reassured that they're going to get to the bottom of this quick, fast, and in a hurry, Dawn.
Yeah, and I know that the FBI director who was on the security detail for Biden when he was the Veep, and so I guess he just liked her. And put her in the head. She's the head of this Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know that she said the buck stops here, whatever, her comment that she took accountability yesterday during that interview, but I just think, I thought for sure she would have offered a resignation by now.
She's not. There's no, nobody gets fired.
I can't believe.
Nobody gets fired in
oh my God.
In government.
Nope.
There were also other reports that the first lady had, and I have not confirmed this, but there were a lot of reports questioning the fact that the first lady had an event and was at River, I think at a casino on Pittsburgh's North Shore.
Yeah.
For a reception. And there were reports that it was a resources issue. And so they pulled some of the Secret Service people allegedly to put them on the security detail for the first lady.
Well, let me start with what you just reported, Dawn, on Kim Cheadle. She sat down last night with ABC News, where she said that the buck stops with me, but I do plan to stay on. Phil, this is cut 24. Go.
We sat down with Director Kim Cheadle today for an exclusive interview.
What was your reaction when you saw the events unfold on Saturday?
Shock, and then concern, obviously, for the former president. This is an event that should have never happened.
Who is most responsible for this happening?
What I would say is that the Secret Service is responsible for the protection of the former president.
So the buck stops with you?
The buck stops with me. I am the director of the Secret Service. It was unacceptable, and it's something that shouldn't happen again.
The president and Homeland Security Secretary said today they had 100% confidence in you. But there are some members of Congress calling on you to resign.
I appreciate the secretary's comments, and we're going to continue to be transparent and communicate with people.
Do you plan to stay on? Absolutely.
I do plan to stay on.
Wow.
Makes you wonder. I mean, thank God Trump's alive. We'll never know. But if Trump had been killed, I mean, there's no way she keeps her job, right?
This is just, let me boil this down to the most, cynical level that I can, because I experience this. If the ratings or revenue go down on this radio station, I'm out.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing. If the race of revenue go down on this radio station, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's the end.
Your job.
End of story. Do my job.
Right.
This woman allowed the Secret Service to come within an inch of killing a former president.
Yep.
And she's like, I have no plans of stepping down. Are you kidding?
Under her watch, a 20-year-old got within 130 yards of Donald Trump. And was apparently spotted for up to 30 minutes prior to firing the first bullets. That is remarkable. New York Post with the headline, you found this last night, Stocker. Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle landed the job after a push by Jill Biden's office, sources say. Now, we talked about her career yesterday and her resume, where she came from prior to this. Now, I did not know this, but this makes it even more inexcusable to defend her. Prior to getting this position 2 years ago, she served 27 years in the Secret Service, beginning in the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. So she's 53 years old. She spent half of her life in the Secret Service. And, an average Tom, Dick, or Harry got within an 8-iron of the president. It's unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
How do you keep your job after that?
I want I know we're distracted because the RNC is going on. I get all of that. I want the media to stay laser focused on this issue. Because this is the biggest issue of our time. And honest to God, I'm not, that's not hyperbole. We need to get to the bottom of this. There needs to be investigations, and there'll be none of it. It's already being swept under the rug.
I mean, we looked at it from a historical perspective yesterday. You got to go back over 40 years to Reagan, and obviously, Kennedy was killed. I mean, that's a major story. Some people, it was a graze. Trump fell. Trump got up and he was bleeding. Trump's got a patch on his ear. He was a few millimeters away from being a corpse.
Yeah.
But think about this, that you have some beloved individuals who were shot. Their stories in the community in Pennsylvania are resounding.
Yep.
And Pennsylvania is very well the key swing state. And will this skew Pennsylvania voters now to go for Trump against Biden? And even the story that now allegedly, you had First Lady Jill Biden in Pittsburgh, and then you had Kamala Harris here in Philadelphia, both on Saturday night, and at much smaller events. I mean, the Veeps thing was like 1,200 people maybe for Pacific Islanders Celebration Day, and then the First Lady in Pittsburgh inside a casino.
Mm-hmm.
So these were not large venues, but reportedly the fact that those resources, if you will, were pulled from the Trump event, which is 55 plus thousand at least, to go to something, you know, Secret Service agents to go to, you know, 1,000 or less people events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. And I think you have to also ask the question, you know, because they're the ones that create this narrative. In fact, I don't even think it's a narrative. It's truth with all the diversity, equity, and inclusion hires. Let me ask you this. Is Cheadle still the Secret Service director today if Cheadle's a man? Is she only still employed because she's a female? Because this administration will hire you and maybe not fire you based on a box you check.
I think it's more likely that because she's a government employee that she won't be fired.
Yeah. I mean, Mayorkas is still
there. That's a good point.
I mean, we have not really seen, in all honesty, other than Sam Brinton, who was a convicted klepto, and you know, Jen Psaki leaving for a TV gig, this Biden administration, they don't get rid of anybody.
Look, here's the thing, too, about this investigation into this. Like, I'm fine if the investigation just turns out that it was just some bullied nutcase who wanted to make a name for himself by trying to take out the former president. You know, it happened with Reagan, you know, with Reagan in 82 or 83, whenever that was. It was a dude who wanted to get Jodie Foster's attention. I understand there's been mentally ill people for as long as, you know, time has been here. So if that's just the case, fine. But there was such a lack of accountability. There's such a lack of like, you know, we need answers on why the Secret Service F this up so badly.
Yeah.
So badly.
And I'll give you another what if. What if not only was Joe Biden the president who took a bullet to the ear, but, I'm going to stay with that. Joe Biden takes a bullet to the ear, but Joe Biden inherited the director of the Secret Service, who was a man from the Trump administration. If that was a guy that was selected by a Republican to lead up the Secret Service that Joe inherited in his first term, would that person be employed? It just seems to me there's just different rules for Democrats and based on what boxes you check. And I just feel like if you're a guy, you're getting whacked today. That's just the way you look at the workforce climate, if that makes any sense. 855-839-1210 is the number. And look, another thing, if this would have played out Saturday with Trump and this was some sniper from 8/10 of a mile away outside of the 1,000 yard radius, still doesn't make it acceptable. It's still the number one story in the country. But just the details that we're learning about, we knew right away how close this guy was. Then we see the aerial still shot, the drone footage of how this is such a very small little area. And the last thing I would say, and I don't know that this is true or not, but I saw somebody put together, because, you know, everybody's got editing capabilities on social media these days, there's a side-by-side dual screen, split screen, of Trump giving his speech and the person being up on the roof and crawling around and people spotting him out. And there's a clock ticking on the somebody inserted the timer.
Yeah.
And it was going on for 2 minutes while Trump is giving his opening remarks. And that guy is basically setting up shop, wiggling around, and getting situated to potentially kill the president. And we've got civilians, humans out there, doing arguably a better job than trained professionals. You talk about a dropping of the ball. I mean, this is a massive failure on intelligence.
Yeah, I know that they keep trying to throw each other under the bus and the finger pointing.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, this was Secret Service. It's their gig. Right?
Yeah, well, they override
100%.
The locals.
100%.
Yep.
It's their gig.
Managerial.
Yes.
And I mean managerial. Not,
of course.
You know, if you're the person on the ground, you're just following, right? You're coming into the situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, remember when the Pope was in Philadelphia and they shut down the entire city and the businesses didn't even benefit and they had the feds here. Even the homeless people were cleaned up. I mean, this is weird to me that usually they just clean up. To the point that it's so restrictive, it does make me, you know, feel, I you know, I just, man, every time I see Secret Service come in, it feels like they shut everything down and they dot every I and cross every T, except when Trump is having a major rally, right when he's doing amazing in the polls. I think there's enough there that people can say, you know, I don't blame anybody for feeling like, wonder why.
Well, after the last 4 years, whatever the mainstream media is telling you, think of the opposite.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. We'll come back, get some news from Dawn, and then we will get to J.D. Vance, 39-year-old senator from Ohio. We have a ticket now of Trump and Vance. We'll kick that around when we come back. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it is Kale and Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, I know it's hot out there, and the heat and summertime means you got to get out on the roads. Road trip season, right? No time like the present to get back out on the roads, head for your summertime trip. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're always going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. Piazza has thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles from some of the most gorgeous, powerful, sleek vehicles on the roadways. I know you've been noticing them. I mean, I'm talking about brands like Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Just visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can always stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.